great. For those of you who haven't been on a call before, my name is Mike Senyu. Normally, I'm with HMTRI, and normally GLOW is with us. GLOW is on their way back from Disney World, so the lucky duck is with Mickey today. So she said she wouldn't be able to make it, but she'll join us on the next one. GLOW and I work with HMTRI. We're a consortia of colleges who have been working with the EPA since the beginning of Brownfield's job training. I'm a former EPA person myself. Have been working with job training and these programs since they began. I worked with EPA since it began. So we've kind of gone through the history of job training and environmental regulation development. What we're doing with EPA is we act as kind of enablers. We help communities get their programs started. Once they have an EPA grant, hopefully anything we can do to help them get more efficiency out of their grant or get additional funds or help them with the sustainability, help them exchange ideas. We like to promote that. We have a website, Brownfield's Toolbox, and we encourage people to visit that, where we have the post-session notes of all these little conference calls and also the recordings, and we also have a lot of resources there. We work with National Science Foundation and with EPA. Someone just joined us.
Christine Campbell, Clover Park Technical College.
Okay, Clover Park. And someone else just joined us.
Hi, it's Elisa Manspizer from Pittsburgh.
Okay, we've got lots of people from the Northeast. GLOW isn't with us today. I was saying she's kind of on her way back with her husband from Disney World, so she expressed her not being able to attend this week. Usually she does the announcements from Washington. What's happened in Washington, of course, has been a big week for us all. Last time we thought, well, we're going to have a new president one way or another this time, and indeed we do. And bodes well for environmental job training and for environmental causes in general.
Wesley Brooks.
Where are you from, sir?
From GHHI, Atlanta.
Okay, great. Okay, Atlanta. We've got some people who are affected by the storm, and we were going to have George from New Jersey Youth Corps on this week, but they're
Green Team.
They're very busy. Yes, who just joined? Okay, someone just joined. Okay, well, anyway, we usually talk about what's happening in Washington, and of course, the implications of this election were important for environment and for job training on several levels. A lot of them are fairly subtle, but clearly the appointees, whenever we get a change of administration, we have a raft of change of administrations, and EPA particularly. If this were to change parties, we would have had everyone as a Schedule C. These are the political appointees would leave, and then a whole new raft would come in, and that usually takes a year to 2 years. A huge number of people exit the agency. Some come down and come into civil service. Others just leave, and of course, whenever that happens, you've got new people who have a totally new agenda. You've got people who may believe in what they're doing, and often they have some new ideas they want to implement, and things are very disrupting for at least a year or two. Fortunately, we were spared that. We're going to have in place all our cabinet people. There will be some people coming and going, as there usually are, but there'll be transitions that will be they'll be orderly, and we haven't heard anything happening in EPA in that term, but the people we've got in EPA are extremely friendly to environmental job training. Mathy has been to all of our job training workshops. He has stated his support for our program. He would like to expand it. He is very active in trying to get private sector, our employers, to work with us in our job training programs to take our graduates and form this system. And he and I and all of us that are involved in this would really like to see this evolve to a systems approach where you integrate your training with your assessment and your cleanup so that when you go into a town, you've got an entire system of job training and cleanup and assessment and placement all in one spot. So this is kind of what we're going for, and there was a potential here of really disrupting this. Fortunately, it does not appear that that'll happen. Now, that doesn't mean every time we talk to EPA, they do say, well, we are concerned about cuts. As far as Congress goes, you know, we've been on a continuing resolution for a while, don't have a budget for the last 2 years. There is a Budget Control Act and the fiscal cliff everyone talks about. In those, the worst case, they may cut programs. Not likely they will eliminate it. They may cut, but the nice thing about the job training program is while if we work on continuing resolutions where we have the same amount of funding as we've had the last several years, we'll still allow for re-ups and about 15 new programs, about $3 million of funding. So that will continue. If there is a cut, that may be offset by EPA math. Both Matthew and Joe and the group in EPA would like to expand the type of training that we're going to be doing. And if they do that, while they may cut some programs, we may get additional funds from other parts of the agency. This remains really the only job training program in EPA. There is another program in EPA that's more linked to the private sector. It's a small program. This is the only real grant program in EPA involved in community development job training. There is another program that you're probably familiar with in NIEHS. It's a sister program that's working primarily with health and safety. If someone's got us on a speakerphone, maybe you can take us off the speakerphone so we can hear this. Do we have any NIEHS grantees out there? Anyone working under the NIEHS grant? Okay. NIEHS has works primarily with labor unions, and their emphasis is on health and safety training. And they do similar programs in some of the same cities. And some of our grantees also get funding from the NIEHS program. That program tends to be more institutionalized, where they just recently, last year, awarded 5 years of grants. Those are mostly to organized labor. One thing about that is they can assist job training programs like the ones we're talking about with train the trainer in health and safety. And we'll put in our announcements on post-session notes the how you may, if you're interested in job training, train the trainer for health and safety, you could sign up for a, they call it the Greatest Institute. It's a little boot camp that they put on in the spring to train trainers on health and safety issues. But getting back to what's happening in Washington, it's probably the best of all worlds considering situation for environmental job training. Regarding the next RFP, it will happen. EPA is traditionally delays these RFPs, requests for proposals. The new ones will probably be out in December, which is going to come up sooner than you think. December, perhaps the first of the year, they'll want to award this in springtime so that people would start planning their training. The RFP, if you want to get an idea, for those of you who have not submitted a grant in the past, what the EPA grant will be like. Just go to the 2012 RFP, and there'll be the ranking. What they do is they have the general criteria, which means this filters out. You've got to be a nonprofit. You have to be a city or state government. There are certain basic qualifications of filters that get you past the first level. And once you qualify, we go into the ranking system. And almost all the EPA grants are operating this way now, where you basically are answering 20 or 30 questions, and they're asking you for very specific information. And we're going to get into this later. At a later date, we will have a series of these calls that specifically address the EPA RFP. But in that, they have the ranking criteria, and it's basically they grade. There might be 60 or 70 or 100 grants that will come in, and they'll be filtered down to about 15 that will be awarded. And the way they filter it is as objective as they can, and that will be based on your responses to the ranking criteria. And this year will be slightly different than last year, but not so much in the ranking criteria as in what they allow you to train and the curriculum. It'll have more to do with the curriculum. You won't necessarily, last year you had to have mandatory training in a lot of different areas. This year it may look a little different, and this is why they said they've delayed the RFP, because of these slight changes. But the grading system will be very similar. And that gets us into the beginning of what we wanted to talk about today. Was we're in a series now of looking at startup funding, operational funding, and sustainability funding, the three things that you need to get you going and keep you going. And as far as that startup funding goes, of course, as far as environmental job training, the EPA grant that comes out every year about Christmas time is basically the best startup grant. Most of our grantees use this as startup funding, and then they go on to use that to leverage into other types of funding to become more sustainable. In the post-session notes from last week, we made some observations about those of you who have not linked up with a city or a state or a county or an established community organization. And it sounds like most of you are established community organizations or your city, county governments. It's interesting, there has been a move. When this program first started, there were a lot of people who were starting from scratch. They had no organization. Some had not even gotten their 501c3 yet, nonprofit status, and they were trying to build these programs. As the programs matured and the competition has gotten steeper, we've found that there's been this migration towards bigger organizations, and we found that the fiscal agent, it seems like in the last couple of rounds, have tended to migrate towards county, city governments, and large community organizations, with some community colleges. I think there was one community college. In the last round, there were about six city, state, county government organizations as fiscal agents, and then there were about seven community groups. Most of those community groups were well organized. Now, they weren't necessarily teaching environmental technology, but they were people in the communities, whether it's Hunter's family out in San Francisco, or whether it was a Jobs for Youth type organization, or if it was a Youth Corps type organizations, or a Goodwill Corporation, a nonprofit organization. These were established nonprofits, communities, and they chose to let's get involved in this added service, which is environmental job training. And the advantage of this, and when we talked about startup funding last time, we said the easiest access to startup funds isn't necessarily getting this EPA job training program right off the bat, but it's more linking up with a larger organization. And it doesn't mean that if you're not one of those, you can't participate. But what I would suggest is if you're a small community group or if you're on your own and you're getting started, at this point, start searching in your community for a larger community organization. And perhaps even if you do a joint venture with a larger community organization, get involved with the city. I would, in any case, check with the city to see if they would be interested in starting one of these programs. Because one of the things that we mentioned was, as soon as you link with the city or a county, you've got instant startup funds. You've got access to all sorts of leveraged resources that you would not have if you went on it alone. There are a lot of grant programs and block grants that are awarded to cities and counties, and some of that money is discretionary. There might even be money that's left over that they would like to expend on a new project, or it may be there may be funds or projects similar to the environmental job training that they could combine with that. And they have resources of people, grant writers. They've got the auditors. They've got the they've done work with the EPA in most cases, with the federal government, with other agencies. So as soon as you link into a city government or a county government, and these, what we're talking about is just our opinion on and our observations. This is not anything official or anything that the government, the EPA would suggest, but clearly, we observe that if you can link with a city or a county government, you open up all sorts of resources. Now, if they decide they don't want to be the fiscal agent, the nice thing is if they're fiscal agent, when you write your grant and you look at those ranking criteria, there are a whole lot of questions on what are your experience in working with the federal government? Have you ever done grants with EPA? What does your fiscal infrastructure look like? You know, are you prepared for audits? As soon as you link with a county or city government, all of that's taken care of. You've got the legal staff, you've got the fiscal staff, you've got the accounting staff. You can still do all the work, allow them to be the fiscal agent. You could be the majority partner. You could be the one that actually is coordinating everything, but they're acting as fiscal agent, and it just brings a whole lot of these startup resources, even in the portion of the grant writing. Some of the things that are happening right now in Washington, for example, there are RFPs that have gone out for what they call area-wide planning grants. These are going out to cities and counties to give them $200,000 to make plans for an assessment and cleanup project in their city. There's also the sister program. It's an assessment RLF cleanup grants. These are the actual grants that are used to do the assessments in your communities. And that grant went out, and that's due here in November, so that your city is probably actively involved in submitting a grant now. And what you would want to do is check with them, and it's usually the Office of Economic Development, and check, make some phone calls and see if they are involved in either an area-wide planning grant or an RLF or assessment grant with EPA. And if they say they are, you would want to ask the question, would you also be interested in a job training program? Because we are thinking of starting a job training program, or we have a job training program and we would like to expand it. And if they said, well, we'd like to talk to you about it, then you could go in and start discussing this program. You might bring to the table the community college. You might bring in the community organization, and you would act as coordinator, but they would do all the heavy lifting in terms of the fiscal, the legal, and the auditing. And this is a great source of not only the startup funds, but when we talk about operational funding, linking up with that city, county government is a tremendous asset. For example, they might give you access to the fire department training facilities. They're training hazmat people as we speak. So they can provide you training facilities. They could provide you trainers. They could probably provide equipment. all kinds of in-kind leveraged facilities, training, equipment, and services. Needless to say, when you link with the county or city government, there are a lot of programs that you may not know about. They may not even be particularly, the person you first contact may not be even that familiar with the programs, but there are transportation programs, for example, that allow people to use bus services at no cost. There are certainly recruitment services and placement services, things like giving physicals, if it's part of your program to give physicals to your participants, the health department can provide physicals at no cost. So there are just a tremendous number of government resources available. So when we start talking about startup funds, and then we start talking about operational funds, this contact with the city or with the county government is very helpful. Is anyone out there linked with the city or the county governments?
Clover Park, yes, with City of Tacoma.
Mm-hmm. And what has been your experience over in Tacoma?
They don't have a lot of extra resources that we can leverage right now. They're looking at trying to pare down their budget. So there are fiscal managers. They give us the legal support and accounting, some of the accounting support and all of that we need, plus help us make contact. The economic development people are helping us make contact with employers. So from that standpoint, they're really supportive partners, but we haven't gotten too much in the way of tangible resources.
Mm-hmm. Are you the fiscal agent then, or are they the fiscal agent?
City of Tacoma is the fiscal agent.
Mm-hmm. So they're basically acting as kind of the front man, handling the legal logistic things, but you're running the show, it sounds like. It's your program.
Well, we do the training, and then we have another partner that helps us with Workforce Central. Our Workforce Development Council helps us with employer contacts also to try to help get these people employed. So we get a lot of assistance in that regard.
Do you find one of the – we did some pros and cons in last week, and do you find that there's a control issue? Do you have problems with someone outside your organization trying to tell you how you should run your program?
No. They're wonderful. They're wonderful to work with.
So one of the big criticisms of that or potential obstacles is linking with some county government, and all of a sudden they're micromanaging the whole program, but you don't see that in your case.
Not at all. We've worked as close partners all along, from the start of creating the proposal to submission to implementing the training. We all knew from the beginning what it was going to be because we all worked on it together. So it's been a really strong and rewarding partnership.
Did you go to them when you started thinking back on your startup, when this was kind of a germ of an idea to get this job training program going? How did that – did they come to you or did you go to them?
They came to us because mm-hmm. we're a community technical college and we have an environmental science 2-year degree program.
Mm-hmm. So that worked well.
Worked really well.
One of the political issues that came up in this election, of a lot of the state legislatures, I know our state legislature in North Carolina went very conservative, and it has a lot of implications to state and city governments in terms of programs. And I think that we have to assume everyone's going to be in for a certain amount of cutbacks, pretty much like what you did describe. But even in that environment, with those cutbacks, it sounds like you're getting some in-kind that is very valuable in terms
excuse me, the city of Tacoma, it's actually the first city that declared as a life cycle city, I think, in the U.S., and they do life cycle assessments on all their goods and services. We're very strong out here in water conservation, clean water, clean air, all of that. So that's really big in this part of the country, which is helpful.
Mm-hmm. Have you, in terms of your operational funding, have you had to reach out or been able to reach out to other sources for resources?
Well, we haven't exactly had to reach out. We have other community partners that have provided things for us. For example, the grants wouldn't allow, soft skills training to be paid for out of the grant. So we have partners out there that have done that for us as kind of an in-kind contribution. So we have a pretty good, strong partnership here.
Well, you know, people think about cash as operational funding, and really in-kind is you need cash to operate the organization, pay salaries, but the real dollars come in the in-kind. When you're talking about a facility, we've had grantees who have got training facilities, you know, millions of dollars worth of facilities and equipment that are in-kind. And for every dollar you don't have to spend, that's like a dollar in grant.
Well, the college contributes the training facilities. We use a lot of the equipment from the environmental science program, and all of that is in kind.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, EPA, when they started this program, they kind of structured it that way. They've kept the program small intentionally, we've been battling to try to get the program bigger. They've argued that if you make it too big a program, it makes it very vulnerable for cutbacks and cutouts, you know, that they keep it small and operate it as a type of startup program where you could then search out these other resources and try to hook onto something. Of course, it's a tough time for cities, but then, you know, they start looking at legislative funding perhaps, or looking at working your way into a city budget or a county government budget where you would have ongoing resources available to you. Now, if you're a community organization, it doesn't mean that you can't do any of these things. Clearly, there are resources that sometimes are available to community organizations that are advantages over those who would link up with county and city governments. You're much more nimble in community organizations. One of the guest speakers we had on several sessions ago remarked that there was a disturbing trend for community-based organizations. They were a community-based organization. They said in the time of very tight fiscal austerity as we're moving into, a lot of the money tends to be floating more towards universities and community colleges at the cost of smaller community organizations. Has anyone out there noticed that at all in their community? Where is the difficulty with that? Some say yes, some say no. We've had Goodwill is one that has been tremendously successful and has got a very successful model in terms of sustainability, where they've combined the Goodwill stores with philanthropic activities, and also have moved into job training programs. So they've been extremely successful in that light. Other community organizations have linked up with some larger federally sponsored programs. Like New Jersey Youth Corps has been very successful in linking up with state programs. The Youth Build program, sponsored by Department of Labor, is another one to link up with. So there have been a lot of programs. Just because you're not linked up to a state or county agency doesn't mean you shouldn't go after this, excluding them if they're not interested. There's another approach. And we'll talk about this approach some more on the next one. We try to keep these calls short, 30 minutes, and that time's about up. We're going to do another session. It's going to be the 21st, 2 weeks from now. It's the day before Thanksgiving, but we'll have a call, and we'll try to examine this a little more detail. Anyone have any questions out there that come to mind? We'll be sending out some post-session notes that will summarize these things in the upcoming meetings that you may want to consider putting on your schedule. And if you have any questions, email us. If you're not signed up on our email list, just email me at msenew@aol.com. That's msenew@aol.com, and we'll make sure you're on the announcement list. And it'll be same thing, same time, 2 weeks from now on Wednesday from 2 to 2:30 Eastern time. And we'll hope to see you all there. And thanks, Tacoma, for your insights of working with your city government. Appreciate your input. So y'all have a good week.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.